Welcome into another episode of the NHL at the Rink podcast. It is June 30th, which means it's one day before the free agent market opens. It's July 1st, always a huge day on the NHL calendar, Sean, but this year it feels like we're well into swing in the offseason. A lot of moves, and actually just about an hour before we came on to do this podcast, there was a big one, a blockbuster. Jacob Markstrom going from the New Jersey Devils back to the Florida Panthers. So it just keeps churning, and there'll be a lot more to come.
You know what July 1st means, Dan? It means that I have to go in the office.
It does.
Rare trip, but it also means that there will be donuts.
You know what?
At NHL.com.
I'm going to be there.
Probably better get another dozen.
There you should. I'll be there. I'm going to be in the office working July 1st, but Markstrom, Devils, Panthers, Bobrovsky, no longer with the Panthers, apparently. There's ripple effects to this trade. Jacob Markstrom, Evan Rodriguez coming back. Good player. Evan Rodriguez coming back to New Jersey. There's ripple effects to this trade, specifically in the goaltending for both sides of this whole thing. What happens now with the New Jersey Devils goaltending? And obviously we know what happens with the Florida Panthers goaltending. They also acquired Akira Schmid. So what does that mean for Sergei Bobrovsky? Sean, I mean, there's a lot that goes on just with this one move.
Yeah, and you forgot Boqvist, right? He's yep. A part of that deal, too. Like, I think the Devils did okay offensively out of it. You wonder what Sonny Mehta, their GM, is going to do about goaltending. Jake Allen, and I don't think, can be the answer. He's a part of it, but they need another piece, and there's not a ton of goaltending out there, which is why Bill Zito probably paid a premium to get Jacob Markstrom, who has had his ups and downs, but should be much better in a Florida system that doesn't give up a ton of grade-A chances and keeps the puck a lot in the other end. So I just, you know, kind of shocking that it happened. You knew Florida had to do something, and I guess you shouldn't be shocked because anytime Florida needs to do something, they do it even better than you thought they were going to do it. So I think Bill Zito really addressed the one need he has left on his team, and it did cost him Rodriguez, who's a really nice player, but is easily replaced by Brady Tkachuk, who he shockingly traded for last week. So maybe next week he's going to trade for somebody else, and we can lead the show again with the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, I don't want to underestimate here the Devils getting Evan Rodriguez. I think he's a really important player. He is a good culture driver type player, good in the room, but he's also very versatile player, can play really on any of your lines, can play pretty much any position. So that versatility, I think, is a good return for the Devils. Now, the next thing, so originally what we all thought, because Bill Zito and the Florida Panthers always swing for the fences, it was, oh, they're going to go get Connor Hellebuyck, right? I mean, that's what they're going to do. They're going to go get Connor Hellebuyck. They don't. They get Jacob Markstrom instead. Irony of this whole thing is Markstrom 12 years ago was traded for Roberto Luongo. Let's not forget that. Luongo, obviously the special advisor to the general manager in Florida, big part of the front office there. So now they get to work together. But you spin it to the – so we know now what the Panthers goaltending situation is going to be. And we're aware now that Sergei Bobrovsky is going to be on another team, right? His time in Florida is going to be up. Where that is, where he lands, remains to be seen at this point as we record this podcast.
You know what I do know, Dan? He's going to get paid a lot of money.
Yes, he
will. There's a lot of money floating around in the NHL atmosphere right now, and there's not a lot of places for it to land.
Does he land with New Jersey?
That's my first thought.
Right? I mean, you think about it, right? The Devils can get him on a – he's a 37-year-old goaltender, so you figure you can get him on a 2 or 3 year deal. You don't have to give up anything but money to get him. Whereas if you're going to go out and try to get Connor Hellebuyck, which I have seen, you know, people like bringing that up or since this trade has happened, well, that's all well and good, but you got to give up a lot to get him, right? With Bobrovsky, you don't have to give up anything except – a contract. So that is something. And Sonny Mehta, of course, comes from Florida, so he knows him well. Won a couple of Stanley Cups with the guy. So that is that's part of the domino effect of this move. But there's also the Hellebuyck situation that is out there. And beyond Connor Hellebuyck, you've got probably, Sean, the biggest one out there is Zach Werenski. And I'm going to tell you right now, as we sit here on June 30th in the afternoon, both of us in New Jersey, I am 100% floored that Zach Werenski could be traded. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. He's got 2 years left on his deal. Why did if he is indicating to the Columbus Blue Jackets, I'm not going to re-sign. Well, okay, but why does he have to get moved now? Why couldn't they put together a team in a season that maybe says, hey, maybe you want to be a part of this, right? There's time, but there seems to be this momentum towards a Zach Werenski trade at some point this offseason. I don't understand it. Do you?
Of course I do. Why did the Ottawa Senators trade Brady Tkachuk?
He asked to be traded. Apparently, he asked to be traded. I don't know that Zach Werenski's asked to be traded. I think he's indicated he won't re-sign.
But the reason is, and it's the Matthew Tkachuk reason. The reason always is when somebody says they don't want to be with you, why do you want them with you? It's like your girl saying, you know what? It's summertime. I'm going to stick around until Valentine's Day so we can hit all the hot spots and go on vacation and you can get me a nice gift. And then I'm going to go find another boyfriend. You signing up for that?
Well, no, but he's got 2 years left on his deal.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, obviously we're not in Zach Werenski's head. Does he not want to be there, or does he not want to re-sign right now? Those are two different things. Not wanting to be there, that means you've asked to be traded. Okay? Not indicating that you're not going to re-sign after your contract is up, to me, gives me time to convince you to say this is a big thing here. We need to do it. No matter what happens, like if they trade Zach Werenski, forget it. You're not winning that trade. Not right now.
Well, he's put them in a position where they can't win that trade.
They can't at all. So, listen, I just – maybe it's just because I'm looking at it and I'm going, I can't fathom a team trading a player this good when he's still got a lot of term left on his deal. But I guess, you know, from a business perspective and from the point you bring up, it, you know, listen, I get that part of it. I do. I just can't wrap. Maybe I'm just struggling to wrap my head around the fact that, you know, the Norris Trophy winner could get traded when he's 28 years old or, you know, and he's got 2 years left on his deal.
But we just talked about the Hart Trophy winner getting traded and you didn't bat an eyelash.
Yeah. I look at it differently, though.
But either one, you live through it with Jacob Trouba. Like, and I'm not saying he's the same player, but once there's that stain there of you're not in, you're not a part of what we're building, you're not going to pull as hard as we're going to pull. How do you survive that in the room? Jacob Trouba said because of what happened to him, because of the way that the Rangers treated him and how they tried to get rid of him, that he couldn't lead in that room, that he had been sandbagged, and there was no way for him to convey to his teammates that they should follow his lead because he was walking out the door. So if you're one of those guys that's kind of watched Columbus build year after year, they've gone up in points every year, right, for the last 4 or 5 years, and you've heard all the hoopla of, hey, stick with us, we're on our way up. You know, you heard your coach at the end of the year say, you know, there's some people here who need to learn how to win and need to learn how to be a team, and it's not all easy. And then your guy is like, I'm not sure I want to be a part of this. Maybe it's 2 years down the road I don't want to be a part of it, but I'm already thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you bring up it's a great point. Trouba was a different situation, obviously. He wanted to be there and they didn't want him. But the dynamics
are the same. Once there's that fissure in the locker room amongst the players, like you don't think all the players are sitting there and saying, what has been said to me for the last 3 years, and what's true? Like, we're all in this together, but we're not.
Yeah.
This guy gets to figure out what his golden parachute is, and I'm gonna go wreck myself in the corner.
Listen, you're right. I'm not going to argue with that. You're right. I still kind of blown away that this is all going down with the Blue Jackets and Werenski and whatnot. You know,
Now
because the other
look.
thing about it too, Sean, is that I've just heard from him, he seems to have been so committed to this franchise, right? And for the and has always talked up how much he likes Columbus and how much he likes it there and whatnot. But maybe he's fed up too. Maybe he just looks at it and goes, I don't see an avenue right now. And he also looks around and he sees his buddy Dylan Larkin doing the same thing with Detroit, right? I mean, so that makes a big, that's a big factor in it. Brady Tkachuk, another one, does it with Ottawa. It's part of what we're seeing in the
Connor
league now.
Hellebuck.
Connor Hellebuck doing it with Winnipeg. Hey, you play on Team USA's Olympic team, you find your way out of the place that you don't want to be, I guess.
Well, you find your place out of a place where you're not winning. I mean,
Yeah.
winning's addictive. But I was going to say the difference is that Steve Yzerman's already told Dylan Larkin to go pound sand.
Did. I mean, that's the indication that he did give, basically saying, like, I'm not guaranteeing you anything right now.
You expand your list. You give me the power. You want to leave? You can leave, but you don't get to dictate where you go. You either stay and be happy, and we're going to have this weird thing that's going on, or you leave on my terms. I have the hammer, to use a curling term. You owe me 5 years. I'll sit you down.
But do you think that the Red Wings and Steve Yzerman really hold the power here?
I think they hold enough power to get more leverage than they have right now. Right now, they don't have any leverage. They're going to go to three different teams and they're going to be like, we want you to take Dylan Larkin and we want you to pay full price. And those three teams are going to go, ha 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 ha. What else are you going to do? I'm going to give you half price. And you should be glad that you got half price. I'm just going to do it so it doesn't look bad. I could hold you for worse. So all Steve Yzerman is saying is, I need a little power back. I need to be able to involve a crazy team.
Yeah.
I need to be able to go to Anaheim with $50 million and say, I'm going to give you Dylan Larkin. What are you going to give me back?
And the other
And
thing.
then go to Minnesota or go to whoever and say, okay, here's the deal on the table. If you really want Dylan Larkin, here's the asking price.
It's the other thing with Dylan Larkin too, with because of the number of years left on his deal, is that I believe, you know, his no trade clause that he has becomes a modified no trade clause the next year or the year after. So the Red Wings could also hold until they have that leverage. But I don't know. I mean, it goes back to what you were just talking about, Sean. I don't know that that's a healthy environment either. You know, if we're going to talk about that being the environment, that's not a healthy environment. It's got it. You can't have it that way, right?
No, and that's the problem is once the well's poisoned, you can't unpoison it. You can't make up. You can't say, oh, I didn't really want to be traded. Like it was just business, and I really love it here in Detroit. I think it's the best. Let's all go get Coney Islands.
Yeah,
Like
it's not.
you can't, and how do you look at your teammates and say, you know what, when it's really grim and we really need 100% from everybody, and I need you to go in that corner and win that puck, how are some of those young kids going to look when he doesn't win that puck and they're really like, is he really committed? What am I playing for?
You're right. And listen, that's happened the last couple of years. Dylan Larkin's not obviously solely to blame for the Red Wings' collapses in March the last 2 years, the last 2 seasons, but he's been a part of it, right? I don't know. It's a gutsy request there, but I mean, listen, the players got power now. The players have the power, and you know, he's got a no trade, and they're showcasing their power, and it's okay. It's fine, but you know, Steve Yzerman is, you're right. Steve Yzerman basically said, no, I've got the power here.
Or I'm going to use every ounce of my
Yeah.
power to make your life miserable until we could come up with some sort of deal. But to me, and I understand it. Look, and it's all business, but people take it personally, right? Like, you're trying to run a team and you're trying to win, and you've put together this team and it's on its way, and then one of your most valuable pieces says, I don't believe in us anymore. I need to separate. It's a lot like a relationship, right? When it's severed, when somebody says, I don't want to be a part of this anymore, how do you bring them back into the fold? And when you're the other team, how are you like, well, we'll get this guy and he's going to be good? Like, what's to stop him a year down the road from being like, I don't like it here either?
Well, that is, you do set a precedent, and you that is part of it, no question about it. When you're acquiring that player, that has to be a part of your thought process too. Is that going to happen? So listen, the Larkin situation is very interesting, obviously. The Werenski situation is the biggest meatball out there, if you ask me. The Hellebuck situation is big too. It's just that the goaltending market is not as wide open, right? I mean, every team needs Zach Werenski. Every team would take a Dylan Larkin. Every team would want to have a Connor Hellebuck on their team, but some of them already have goaltending that they really, really like already, right? And they're paying. So it's a little bit thinner in there. So, but there'll be some movement there. I'll make this prediction. The way that these things are trending right now, Sean, Hellebuck, Larkin, and Zach Werenski will be playing in different markets start of next season. I don't think these general managers are going to keep them for the reasons you laid out. For the reasons you laid out. I think though all three will be traded before not too long.
Before July 4th?
I don't know about before July 4th. I have no idea. But possibly.
And by the way, I just want all the listeners out there to know, and I feel like I sound a little like Slapshot here. I just want the listeners out there to know if they could see, Dan Rosen called Zach Werenski the biggest meatball out there. And I just want everybody to know that Dan Rosen ordered 14 meatballs at
I
dinner the
did.
other night.
I did. But it was for the
14
table.
meatballs.
It was for the table. There was like nine of us at the 10 of us at the table. The waitress said to order two.
I'd like
So
14 meatballs,
14
please.
meatballs. But how about the fact that those meatballs, that's an entree at that place in Buffalo. Seven of those meatballs. They weigh about a half a pound each. And that's an entree at that place in Buffalo, which, by the way, was quite good. But anyway, the Larkin situation also impacts, I think, the Trocheck situation with the New York Rangers, because there's teams that are going to want Dylan Larkin, and if they're not going to get him, they may pivot to go to get Vincent Trocheck. So there's an impact there. And then if you really want to go deeper down the rabbit hole on this, the Vegas Golden Knights, a team we know is always in the business of acquiring big-time talent and big-name players, they're saving on some cap space over their last couple of moves. They traded today, Tuesday, Caden Korzak. He goes to the Pittsburgh Penguins for Parker Watherspoon, a defenseman trade. Korzak making $3.25 million. Watherspoon's going to count 500,000 against the cap for the Vegas Golden Knights. So they save there. They traded Pavel Dorofeyev, who's an RFA, to the New York Rangers. Well, Dorofeyev, reportedly, although the contract is not official yet, because it is not a, I have been told the contract is not official yet, but it will be. It's a 7-year deal, $11 million a year for Pavel Dorofeyev, who scored 37 goals this past year up to 35, but that's money that Vegas doesn't have to pay him. To me, Vegas is now, they're doing a really good job of clearing up some cap space, and I can see them making a push here, whether it's for Werenski, whether it's for Jason Robertson, right? Whether it's for Larkin, what about Connor Hellebuck?
Well, and I think that's their biggest need is goaltending, right? I mean, they went to the Stanley Cup final and really didn't have a goaltender. They didn't trust Adin Hill to play, and they let Carter Hart give up 4 goals a game. And so they pretty much knew they had to score five to win a game in the Stanley Cup final. And You don't score five goals in this league. As entertaining as the playoffs were, it's not a given that you're going to score five goals in a game. But you mentioned to me, like, we talked about all of the players that, are asking out and wanting new scenery and how you take that. Like, what about Jason Robertson?
He's got guts.
Like, they move him to Seattle. Look, I think Dallas wants to keep him. I think they're still trying to keep him. They're still trying to
Yes.
figure out a way to keep him. Of course, you'd want to keep that player, but the math doesn't work right now. So when I talked about a crazy team for Dylan Larkin, here come the Seattle Kraken. Jason Robertson, we'd love you to play in our town. Here's a wheelbarrow full of money. No thanks. I'll take my chances somewhere else.
An 8-year contract, reportedly an 8-year contract in the neighborhood of 15 million, slightly north of 15 million per year.
It's cool, 120.
It'd be the second richest contract in the league outside of Kirill Kaprizov's, who's making 17 mil, right? And Jason Robertson says no. And it's very clear then that he does not want to play in Seattle, okay? Because he would have said yes to that amount of money. He probably will. Listen, when it comes down to it, it's easy for me to say, but if it's a market that you don't want to go to, like you don't want to play in for whatever reason, I love Seattle, okay? I think it's a great city. It's a team that's obviously taken home run swings and they're hoping to hit one of these. Okay. But if it's a market you don't want to play in, and then another one pops up, and it could be Dallas, and they say, we're going to give you an 8-year deal and you're going to get 12 and a half, right? 13. Because that's fair market, I think, for a player like Jason Roberts. And I think the 15 was a shocking number, but I don't think anybody would be surprised if Jason Robertson signed an 8-year deal at 12 and a half AAV, right? You're giving up millions upon millions of dollars. So it's like easy for me to say, like, oh,
But
it's
you're
like
not.
nothing,
You're
but you're
not.
not.
Like
You're not.
when you figure out taxes, and B, when you figure out cost of living. I mean, as
Correct.
Seattle's one of the most expensive places to live in all of the North American cities. And C, and I've always argued this, like, take less money. And people get mad when somebody takes less money. Take less money to be happy.
Yes.
It is generational wealth. It is money that you can never spend, that your ch unless you're completely irresponsible, that you can never spend, that your children will never spend, that your grandchildren will probably never spend if it's managed right. And you're going to go chase another $2 million to be miserable?
Well, and listen, an 8-year deal, 15 million versus an 8-year deal, 12 and a half million. You're giving up $20 million. Okay, that's $20 million. To you, like, I mean, oh my God, like that's how I couldn't even fathom that. But you're still getting a huge amount of money. And depending on where you're signed and the taxes and the living situation, and if you're gonna, it's gonna make you happy, well, that's so much better. That's what I was getting at.
Would
Clearly, Jason Robertson looked at it and said, that's not where I wanna be. I will give up the money.
you take $20,000 more to work in Philly?
Wow, it's a great question. I mean, pretty greedy. So, do I have to go to the office?
Yes.
No, then it's a flat out no. And
So, but
it's
that's
because
the.
of the Phillies and the Eagles, people. It's not because of the Flyers
But this is
and the
my
city.
point. This is my point. Like, there are things that are going to make you unhappy in life, and
Yes.
money's not going to solve it.
Right. So now it's I 100% think the Dallas Stars are doing everything they can to try to bridge a gap with him and keep him. I think Jason Robertson's very happy in Dallas too. So it wouldn't surprise me at all. But he's also, if he can get more from another market that he believes he can be happy in, he's not going to settle with Dallas just because but the grass isn't always greener, right? The money is, the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
Bill Zito's going to trade for him tonight.
There's a different cap in Florida. It's a whole other thing, right? Listen, that, but again, it comes down to, a team like Vegas, right? You can see them clearing space. Well, they're not clearing space so they don't have to spend to the cap, Sean. They're clearing space so they can make a big move, and they're also gonna they also have almost $9 million that's going on LTIR with Alex Petrangelo, right? I mean, so there is that as well. Like, they're clearing space, the caps are going up, the cap's going up. So Vegas isn't doing that. Like I said, they're not doing that, so they're not spending to the cap. But I mean, I predict. So I issued a prediction before and said, and it's not a bold prediction, that Werenski, Larkin, and Hellebuck will be playing in different markets. I think Robertson ends up staying in Dallas. I think they bridge that gap, and I think he ends up staying there.
And the reason we're talking about all of this on June 30th is because the free agent market isn't going to solve many problems for teams that need help, right? That's why we've seen all the moves that we've seen. And that's why I think we're going to see more moves and why we're talking about players who are under contract, right? I think you might even see some offer sheets. For the
Possible.
few restricted free agents that are left, most of them have been signed, right? Dorofeev, Drury, all those guys that you would target as RFAs and say, I could make this work, have been signed because I think GMs know that's coming.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they know, Sean, they know that there's not a lot, right? I mean, the free agent market this year is not, it's not barren. We talked about Bobrovsky, we talked about John Carlson a little bit. You know, I mean, you can bring up Anthony Mantha's coming off of a good season. You got Patrick Kane, right? I mean, there are some names out there that, will be signed, but I think it's part of a bigger picture here is the free agency is giving way in the National Hockey League to the movement of players with contracts. That's what the offseason, it's morphing into that. And then if you just look at the guys who can sign based on their current contracts or are eligible to sign an extension starting Wednesday, Cale Makar, Quinn Hughes, Nikita Kucherov, Nico Hischier, Macklin Celebrini is one coming. He's got an entry level, right? I mean, they're going to sign long-term deals too. And that's going to take away from free agency. There's the big names are just not going to be there. If you get one, it'll almost be a little bit surprising. But the big names will be the guys who have 3, 4 years left on their deals and say, I don't want to be here anymore. Trade me. Right? And here's where you can go. And they're going to be in control. That's just kind of the way this is going. And another point in that is the cap's going up too. So you got to have to spend money. Teams have to spend money.
And almost every one of those guys you mentioned, and John Carlson might not be on the market because Carolina has the rights to, they traded for the rights so they can sign him before July 1st, and take him off the market.
Mock it.
But you have GMs who are like, I have to spend money. I'm contractually bound to spend money.
Right, because there's a floor. There's a salary cap floor you got to get to.
And this is what I have to spend it on. And I'm going to have to overpay somebody, which then impacts the whole market going forward, right? Like maybe not immediately, but eventually those things are going to become comparables. They're going to creep into the system. And everybody's going to be like, well, that guy made that much money. I need to make that much money. I'm the same player he is. And somebody like, and that's another part of the problem of signing so early, right? Is some of these contracts are signed. Like, look, Cale Makar could sign a $20 million contract,
20 million a year. Easy.
right?
Absolutely
And
could.
that's a lot of money in the NHL, right? That's you look at it, and it takes your breath away. It's a long-term contract. 4 years from now, it's a value contract, right? Like, in theory, you would think, I'll sign every 3 years and maximize my value. But A, there's job security, and B, there's injuries and whatever else. So, always take the money because money in your pocket's better than money down the road. But yeah, so like the free agent market is going to get more and more squeezed, but there's going to be more and more money involved in it.
Yes. And I think so. I mean, Makar, that's a great example. I think just we also have to recognize, I actually had some conversations at the draft, some other people, and during the Stanley Cup final with some other people about this, just people that in our line of work that do what we do, about recalibrating our brains for the cap system because the cap's going up, right? Pavel Dorofeyev is a perfect example. It's not done yet, but he's going to get $11 million a year from the New York Rangers. He scored 37 goals last year. All right. Maybe he's a 40 goal scorer and that contract looks okay, right? Especially in a couple of years from now. But you look at it, and at first, it kind of blows your hair back. Like, Pavel Dorofeyev is getting 11 million a year. Like, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I mean, hey, Connor McDavid's only getting 12 and a half, right? Different story, different type of contract, right? But I understand you get what I'm saying. But if you recalibrate it, the cap is 104 million for this season. It's going to be 113.5 million in 27-28. So yeah, you're looking at percentages of the cap, it's actually not that bad of a deal, right? It's not that much. There's still much more money in the system for the Rangers in this particular case to spend. So we all in the hockey world have to recalibrate our brains for what the cap is and what the average annual value of these contracts are, because we're coming out of the flat cap era where everything was lower than what we thought it would, what probably lower than what market value would dictate. But now everything's going to look high, but it's not. You just got to look at the percentage of the cap, and that will recalibrate it for you.
Still an overpay.
For Dorofeev? Okay, let's have this conversation real fast. 35 goals last season, 37 goals this season. Experienced guy. Top six, power play. If Pavel Dorofeyev scores 40 goals for the New York Rangers this year, let's call it 40 goals, 30 assists. Their power play ends up being top 10 in the league as a result, top 12 in the league as a result. And then he does it a year after. And then he does it a year after, right? Because that's what you're looking at. That's what your hope is, right? Is it an overpay?
Nope, but I will bet you right now a dinner of your choice that he doesn't hit 30 goals.
Now, why do you say that?
Because he's coming into a completely different system than in Vegas, where the players ran everything.
Right.
There was an accountability amongst the other players that you do not shake. We're here to do one thing. We're here to win. This is how we do it. We've already won. We know how to do it. You listen to us and you do what we tell you to do. There's not that in New York. And is there anybody as good at getting them the puck as any of the guys in Vegas? No.
Not right now, no. Definitely not right now. But I think the guy's a pure goal scorer. It's an interest. You bring up an interesting point, and I'm not discounting it at all. I disagree. I think he can be a 35 to 40 goal scorer for the New York Rangers, right? And you all heard it. The bet is on.
35 goals, and you get to eat at the food truck of your choice.
Okay, perfect. I like
You
it.
know what? It's $35, and I'll get you the best meatballs in New York City,
There
seven
we
of them.
go. All right. And I like it. The street meat, I like it. All right, we'll do it that way. I like this bet. So, but recalibrating back to my original point is recalibrating for the cap. We have to all understand that. But I mentioned some of the guys who can sign on, July 1st on Wednesday or anytime after because they're eligible to do so. There's also a bunch of RFAs that are significant, Sean. Bedard, Connor Bedard, Leo Carlson, Adam Fantilli, the top three picks in that draft, all RFAs, right? Cutter Gauthier is another one. Trevor Zegras is another one. Simone Nemec, who just got traded to Calgary. That's actually maybe even a more interesting market than the UFA market because we're talking, what are those guys going to get? Most of these, a number of these guys, Bedard, Carlson, Fantilli, Nemec, I mean, they're all entering the second contract, right? Celebrini is going to be that a year from now, and he's eligible. Like, what are those guys going to get in a rising cap world? It's going to look a lot different than it did when Austin Matthews was coming on his second deal, right? Or, I mean, name it, whoever, Juraj Slafkovský coming on his second deal, right? It's going to look different than that.
It is going to look different, but let me ask you this on a completely different note. What does Alex Ovechkin get to come back?
I mean, it's a 1 year deal, right? We'd have to think if it's a 1 year deal. They say they have the cap space to sign him. They got Kyrou. They got Tuck. They're trying to build something to be a playoff team next year. 8 million? 10 million?
I was going to say 10. Not my money.
Nope. It's going to be in a reduced role.
I like spending other people's money.
Yeah. But you think about it too. It's interesting, right? It's going to be in a reduced role. It has to be. They just got Kyrou and Tuck. He's not, I mean, it doesn't make sense for Alex Ovechkin to stand out there on the power play for 2 minutes anymore, right? I mean, he's still a weapon. I get that, but there's more ways to score, obviously. I can't tell you how many times I've watched them play, and they're entering the zone on the power play on his side, and he's in the way. It's like a cone in the way. Like if he just goes down to the goal line, they enter, and then he pops back up. They can move the puck around. But anyway, reduced role, still a place for him. He can still score 30, still can do it. I would say 8 to 10 million on a 1 year deal.
He was the leading scorer last year.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. That can happen again for Washington.
Well, they had some injuries.
Yes, but it can't happen again. Like, as good as he is, and he's the all-time greatest goal scorer, it just can't, you can't have Alex Ovechkin be your leading goal scorer and expect to be a playoff team. Just, it's too competitive in the East to have that. Especially when you consider now, like, the Florida Panthers, who didn't make the playoffs, everyone's looking at them as being a Stanley Cup or bust team all of a sudden again, right? Buffalo's there. Montreal's only getting better. What's Toronto going to be? Are they going to be, they could be better than they were last year. They could be the same. They could be worse. I have no idea. That's just in the, and that's on the other side. Carolina, we know
Dude,
they're going to be solid.
the last three cup winners
Yeah.
are in the division.
Well, they're on the other side. They're in the conference, the last three cup winners. One of them is in their division in Carolina. And I mean, New Jersey's making some moves. We'll see where that goes, right? They were a complete disappointment last season. So, but the point, the Flyers are, we'll see where the Flyers are. We'll see what the Penguins are. We'll see what the Islanders are, right? The point being that Alex Ovechkin can't be your leading goal scorer, leading scorer, period. And expect to be a playoff team. Not when you go out and give Alex Tuck that contract. Not when you go out and sign Jordan and acquire Jordan Kyrou. And you have Tom Wilson. And we'll see what else they do.
It's going to be interesting, and I think, as much as people are downplaying July 1st tomorrow, I think July 1st is going to be interesting on a number of fronts. I don't think it's going to be all free agency anymore. I think there's going to be trades. I think there's going to be offer sheets. We'll have another episode next week, and everybody can laugh at me for thinking that offer sheets are going to happen when none of them do. But I'm an eternal optimist. I like chaos. The offer sheet is the ultimate piece of chaos
It
available.
is.
So we'll see.
We'll see. Here's one more before we get out of here. What's going to happen with the Edmonton Oilers? Right? I mean, the Edmonton Oilers are in that window. We know about the window. It's a Stanley Cup window with Connor McDavid's contract, and they just brought in Mike Babcock to be the new coach. Babcock clearly has a resume. We know that, right? I mean, he's a Stanley Cup winner. He's a two-time Olympic gold medal winner as a coach. He's got a coaching resume, but there's obviously some baggage there that he's got to deal with. That's been well reported. And Darnell Nurse could be looking, looks like he wants to be traded. The Oilers have to get better. They have to do something about their goaltending. And it's all in line with Mike Babcock, and you're going to have to get players to want to go there too, right? That's another, they're one of the most interesting teams. We haven't even discussed them.
Dude, you could be Paul Maurice. You could be Rod Brind'Amour. You could be Scotty Bowman. How much are you going to do for this team? Like, there's been a pipeline of coaches who have gone through. They're a very poorly constructed team
No matter who the co- yeah.
by the very nature of what they are.
Right. Yes. No matter who the coach is, that coach cannot defend the front of the net and he cannot stop the puck.
And he doesn't have the pieces
To do those things.
to do those things.
Yes.
Like, you could be the most creative coach in the world, and you could be the best motivator in the world. At some point, depth and talent are the difference. What do we say? Every coach, he's a good coach. You know what? He's got a really good goalie. There's not a lot of coaches in the NHL where you're like, that dude's a good coach, and they're giving up 4 goals a game.
Right.
So
It's very true.
they got to fix a lot of things, and they got to fix them fast, because one of their main problems is that they're top heavy, and their top heavy guys are unhappy. And it's becoming much easier to get what you want when you're unhappy in the NHL. That's how we started this broadcast. You better fi somebody better fix it fast.
Very interesting team to watch, especially with another team in their division, the San Jose Sharks, on the rise, right? And they also, by the way, need to start constructing their team to where they can keep the puck out of the net too.
Man, did they kill it at the draft?
They did,
Oh
but
my God.
they got to keep the puck out of the net, Sean. They got to keep it out of the net. They can have all the scoring they want. They'll be the next version of the Edmonton Oilers if they don't start addressing the defense and making sure the goaltending is solid.
It's true, but they have a little more runway and a little more patience than that team in Edmonton.
Yep. So, anyway, this was a lot of fun. Hopefully, it holds for a little while because, the market opens very soon. We're recording this on Tuesday. The market opens for the free agent market opens on Wednesday. The trade market's wide open. We know that. And that's been open for a long time, and it will continue to stay open. But we'll be back next week, Sean, to wrap it all up.
Enjoy the chaos. Stole your line, damn.
All right, you're allowed to.